Broadcasting live from the ESPN 690 and Ajar and Levine studios.
This is Action Sports Jax on ESPN 690 with Brent Martineau and Austin Lane.
Welcome back. Last hour here, football at 5. Action Sports Jax on ESPN 690. Holding the fort down with my dude Brian, pushing all the right buttons. Brian, hour number two. And I'll tell you what, I want to see some more. I want to see preseason game number four. Not saying you made the team yet. Not saying I could be the last person cut. But I'm just saying, I'll see you preseason game number four. See what you bring to the game here. See what you got.
I like it.
Very impressed so far. Ex-Sports Jack Brett Martineau on his way to L.A. Is he in L.A. or is he on his way to L.A.? He's probably in L.A. by now.
Yeah.
Hopefully in L.A. by now. Yep, he's with Marcel Robinson. They're there covering the Jags-Rams game.
He's not with Casey. Casey just sent a text message.
Okay.
He's eating his, he says that he's currently having the best airport food he's ever had. I can't name
Houston.
The place.
Okay.
It's
yeah.
Not sponsored.
No, for sure. Houston go. I know, I said that the cell phone company that I probably got in trouble for. But Houston goes hard, man, in terms of food. Because I was there a couple weekends ago, and we were... You know, we were there for like a good hour waiting for our flight. Yeah, Houston's got some, they got barbecue. They got a lot of good stuff there. So you can't go wrong in the Houston airport. I guess long story short, if you're going to be chilling in an airport for a while, there's worse spots to be chilling than the Houston airport. So at least there's that. Now, missing the Lakers game, you know, that is what it is from him. But hopefully he gets things figured out. Hopefully he's sitting next to an A-list celebrity. And hopefully we get some cool stories about that on Monday. Speaking of cool stories, Marcel Robinson, the stylish one of the group, if you will, caught up with Brian Dawkins, you know, one of Jacksonville's favorite sons, I would say, Hall of Famer, you know, the pride of William M. Raines. And I think Marcel caught up with him for a pretty cool interview about, he's got a new book coming out, if I'm not mistaken. Marcel Robinson caught up with him, talked to the one and only Brian Dawkins. Here's that interview.
We are blessed to be joined by a, you can sort of say a local hometown hero, Brian Dawkins, former Reigns Viking, former Philadelphia Eagle, Denver Broncos, and more importantly, Hall of Famer. How are we doing today, Brian?
Absolutely blessed, brother. Absolutely blessed.
Now, it's funny you say that. Speaking of being blessed, that's exactly why we're here, to talk about this nice little piece of literature that I got here, Blessed by the Best by Brian Dawkins. Just tell me sort of kind of what went into the motivation and why did you want to sort of put your story on paper?
I thought it was very important for me to, first of all, go against my natural inclination not to write a book, because I never thought about writing a book right when I was younger. But from some of the things that I've been blessed to do in my life and the success that I've had, many people saw me as I was getting that Hall of Fame bus right there and jacket and all of those things. And they really began, I really felt that they thought everything has always gone smoothly in my life, that I've always been the top guy, always the person that everybody wanted, and that's far from the case. And so the Lord basically put it on my heart to begin to really put from pen to paper and then into a book that some of the things that I've grown through in my life, not just gone through, but I've grown through, the way that I have been blessed to see things in my life, to reframe things in my past, to empower me in my present so that I can go on to have successful futures. I use that same formula to this day. So it's not just a football book. Yes, there's some football in it, but it's really a life tool.
It's funny you mentioned that, because you said something similar. People see you as, you know, this figure, you're a Hall of Famer, you're this picture perfect, you know, characterization of success, but just like everyone else, you've gone through plenty of struggles and continue to, as many others. One of the things I want to kind of get into about the book, and it's something that's really related to something that a lot of people can relate to, is just the mental health aspect of everything. You actually, at one of the highest point, what most people would consider the highest point of your life, we're going through some real tough struggles, that being your rookie year. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I was in a rough place. It was something that was, I would say, 95% my fault, because I was not talking. say that's some of the things that I've learned kind of in my neighborhood that you don't, men, especially black African, you know, black men, males, we don't talk about our feelings. We don't share or show emotion. You don't cry, rub dirt on it. That type of mentality. And that works for some things. It really does, but not for eternal hurts. And so I had some things in my life that I had not spoken about to anybody. And those things were toxic. They were toxins in my system. And they were taking me to pressure point, because there's other things as a rookie, a lot of things expected of me. And so all of those things began to pressurize me. And I fell into depression and fell into some self-harm thoughts. And so I had to do things differently. My beautiful wife, Connie, and my coach at the time, Emmett Thomas, they basically tag teamed and said, no, you need to go get help. All of these things in the book. But I went to get the help that I needed to speak to somebody about things that I was not going to speak to anybody about if it was up to me. And what it did, Marcel, it really blessed me to come down off my emotions so that I can hear a lot clearer from a vertical relationship perspective, the things I needed to start doing and some of the things I needed to stop doing. And so that was a very, very powerful time for me to really begin to get to know who I truly am, because up until that point, I did not know who I truly was.
We've talked about this sort of extensively, and you and I have talked a bunch as well, but just tell me let's rewind this back. You said something that I think is quite interesting that I think a lot of people should really take heed to, is that just that upbringing of just being that machismo, you know, that sort of, you know, got to be tough, got to be strong, you know, throw some dirt on it, something that you referenced in the book as well. Just kind of rewinding back to your days in Northwest Jacksonville, that's basically the culture. How important is it for not only for people to read this in the book, but to hear from someone like you to say, hey, just because that's the way that we were raised, you know, it takes two people to create a habit, but one to change it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that habit changing, it starts with a thought, thinking differently, and then inviting people into your life that you can talk to, that you do feel comfortable talking to. Sometimes the best are adults, those that you can reach out to speak about some things. But I have four people in my life now. I call them my blessed pack. There are four individuals that I can call at any given time if I need to talk about whatever's going on with me. And sometimes it's as simple as pray for your boy. Pray for your boy. And I know they're gonna do it. And they usually text me back some verses from the Bible and just some thoughts of encouragement. And then if I need to talk to them, I can. That's powerful. Now, going back to my earlier days, yes, I had people in my life that I could have reached out to. I know I could have. I just chose not to. So that's the thing. Pray about and recognize those people that you have in your life that you can talk to. Here's the other thing. My story at that time was not for everybody. The stuff that you're going through is not for everybody. You can share it to that one person because you can trust that one person to hold on to your stuff, to help you with your stuff, but to hold on to it. It's not for everybody to know what's going on with you, right? And so that's the other empowering thing about that. So yes, I had to be tough because of specific things in the neighborhood, but that toughness does not mean that I can't share some of the traumas that I've dealt with in my life, going through some of the things that I went through in my neighborhood, if that makes sense.
Yeah, complete sense. And it's sort of one of those, so you go through what you go through type mentality, which I love. And I also love this about this one particular part, sort of in kind of the beginning of your story, once you got into the league, when you really went through this fundamental rediscovery of yourself, which I think is something that a lot of people are going through right now at this very moment, you took it down to the nuts and the bolts, up even until you were wearing, you know, used to wearing an earring because you said, like, you know, it felt like it looked good. But even just to that, you say, you know what, any external component that's creeping in, that's making me be something different than my authentic self, has to go. Just tell me about sort of that process and how tough was that, because that required a level of discipline that I'm sure that you didn't even know you possessed at that time.
Yes, so one of the things about getting anywhere in life is you have to first recognize where you want to go, but also where you are. Where are you? Where am I? And so during that rookie year, I really had a chance to sit down and look at, where am I? What are the things that are that I lean too heavily on. I'll say it like that, because one of those other things was alcohol that I got some of the hard things that I was drinking at that time. Beer specifically, was one of the things that I was leaning on real hard as a crutch, right, to kind of mask the pain. So I haven't consumed beer since that time, since my rookie year. That was another thing that I got rid of. And again, that was me. That's not for other people that you have to do exactly what I did. But what I did, once again, is I recognized, where am I? Where am I? This painful place that I find myself, why am I here? What are the things that I'm now putting as premiums for me to utilize other than my vertical doggone relationship, mm-hmm. right? And so when I then decided not to do those things, that was done in saying that I'm going to give these things away in order for me to dedicate all of me, more of me, to you, Heavenly Father. That's where that power came from, but also that thought came from, because what I was doing was not working, and I knew that that vertical relationship needed to increase, and there was things that I was putting in ahead of, it was becoming idols, to be honest with you. There was some idols in my life that I needed to get rid of, and once I got rid of those, and once I had that vertical relationship begins to increase because of getting rid of those things and spending more time in prayer, more time in meditation, more time understanding the power of journaling. I would introduce that to anybody who is listening, going through anything right now. Introduce yourself to journaling. Journaling your thoughts. Very powerful things I do to this day.
I love it. And Brian, I can talk to you about this book all day long, but of course, we don't have that much time. But I want to ask you one more thing about this before we get to the last topic. And it's that it's so important for, as you said, you know, your story is not just your story. Obviously, your story is, you telling your story is going to help someone who you may not even know, strangers, and that's exactly what the book is for. What's your message to sort of the younger kids that are kind of growing up in Northwest Jacksonville, you know, the Reigns, and even, dare I say, you know, the Rebolt Trojans, and just anyone in general kind of going through anything over there? What's your message to them in terms of how they can kind of be bigger than them, their circumstances?
Man, wow. I talked a little bit about it earlier. Finding that, praying about that one person that you have in your life, an adult especially, and maybe a friend, but especially an adult that you can talk to about the thing that you have going on in your life. And here's the other thing. Here's the most powerful thing, one of the most powerful things that I grasp, that the person that you see in front of you, the person that was blessed to earn that Hall of Fame trophy, that person, the things that were needed to achieve all of that, was in me when I was right there in Jacksonville. So the greatness that came out of me was not ahead of me. It was already in me. So that's a powerful thing, a powerful lesson for anybody who's going through anything right now in their life. Your neighborhood does not define you. It does not, where you start off from does not have to dictate to where you're going to be. Create that vision for yourself. But once again, the greatness that's inside of you is not ahead of you. It's already, once again, inside of you.
Perfect. I love it. The book is Blessed by the Best, and it's not just about the pages that are in the book. All the net proceeds from the book go to the Brian Dawkins Impact. 50%. Sorry, 50%.
50%. 50%. Hold on. I'm pledging 50% of my proceeds is going to the book. It's going to the my Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation. Excuse me.
And where can the folks find the book?
Oh, you can go to BrianDawkins.com and get a signed copy or a regular copy.
Perfect. And Brian, again, thank you for joining us, talking about the book. It's a great book. And speaking of greatness, the Jaguars, we got some injuries, man. You look like you can still suit up over here. Can we get you on the field for a couple games? We got 6 games left. You got some juice in you left?
No. Those days are over with. I enjoyed the heck out of it, but those days are over with.
All right. Well, fair enough. We won't ask you anymore, at least today. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Appreciate you.
Well done. By Action Sports, Jack's Marcel Robinson. Fantastic interview. I had no idea, you know, Brian Dawkins was you know, kind of went through all of that. And it's definitely a book that you got to check out to kind of read the whole story, because it sounds like he was in a pretty bad spot, man. And it was cool that he was able to overcome that, you know, used the help of family and friends to do that, as a lot of people have to do, and ended up having a Hall of Fame career. So props to him for that, number one, but props to him for, you know, telling the story, you know, because it's not easy. especially in terms of mental health and everything. Not everyone is built for that. So props to Brian Dawkins. And, you know, if I can add anything to it, and I'm not sure if any, in terms of a capacity that he works with the NFL or the NFLPA or anything, and I'm not sure if the NFL symposium is still a thing. I'll be honest. Like, I mean, I haven't heard about this NFL symposium in a while. I don't know if COVID shut that down. I'm not sure if rookies are still, you know, gathering and hearing speakers and people lecture them about what life is like in the league and how you can maximize your opportunity of playing in the NFL. But I hope in some sort of capacity that they ask Brian Dawkins, if there still is a symposium, to take part in that. And to speak to these young guys coming in. Because I'm reminded of back in 2010 when I was coming from a small school at Murray State in the NFL, and it was a whirlwind for me. And a lot of the things that you heard at the symposium, you know, this is almost over a decade ago now, it wasn't so much of the mental health and you know, all that stuff. It was more, all right, you got to be smart with your money. You know, you can't go clubbing every single night, yada, yada, yada. And, like, that stuff's important to hear, too, and you got to hear that kind of stuff. But at the same time, I'm sitting there thinking, like, hey, after the symposium in San Diego, I got to go back to play football, and I got Joe Cullen, and I got all this stuff going on. Like, you know, how do I deal with that? How do I make the team, let alone from, you know, blowing thousands and thousands of dollars on cars and bottle service and all that stuff? Like, I wasn't even close to worrying about that at the time. And I think now where mental health is, you know, it's starting to become more of a talk about thing and less taboo. And you're starting to see players, old and present, come forward and kind of speak their piece a little bit. It's a cool environment to see. And I think the next generation of football players that are coming into the league, they need to hear those things too. Like those rookies next year in the 2022 draft class, they need to hear Brian Dawkins. They got to read Brian Dawkins' book. Because it was one thing for me coming out in 2010 in terms of the pressure and all of that. But you got to remember, back in 2010, Twitter was still kind of in its infancy. Like, it was there, but it wasn't like it is now. Instagram was just, you know, in the beginning phase. Facebook was still there and everything. But like, the whole way that social media is perceived now compared to back when I played, it's night and day. And obviously with social media, it can be a great tool to interacting with fans, keeping people informed, sharing your thoughts. It's a great tool, but it can be a very toxic tool as well. And I think a lot of these players that get to the league, they just don't know how to use it to their benefit. And they end up struggling from that in the long run. So anytime a player of Brian Dawkins' caliber, you know, a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro and a Hall of Famer, anytime a guy like that can come forward and say something like at a symposium or just talk to a team, you better believe they're going to listen. Because a lot of teams, they bring in motivational speakers, they're bringing, you know, successful CEOs, and that's special, but that can mean something too. But from having a guy that you shared or that you shared a field with, or at least, you know, came before you, that you have to respect, hearing it come from people like that means that much more. More football at 5. We'll get back here on ESPN 690.
I mean, you got to give James a lot of credit. I mean, he's not 100%. And, you know, the guy is, you know, I mean, I hate to use the terms, but, you know, he is a warrior. And he's fighting through, you know, the heel, the knee. He's out there for his teammates. And he's, you know, he's doing the best that he can. And the best is, you know, his best is pretty good. You know, we know that he's got more in it, you know, as well when he's fully healthy. But I love the competitiveness that he's showing.
Jaguars offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel. Yeah, James Robinson's pretty good. He's the best guy on your offense right now. He's the most consistent thing on your offense right now. He's the guy that can put the ball in the end zone right now. So if this game is somewhat close, within 10 points throughout the first quarter, I'm going to need to see some James Robinson touches. I'm going to need to see a heavy dose of James Robinson. Yes, do I want Trevor Lawrence to make progress and show that he's getting better? You better believe it. But I also like winning football games. I also like coming here on a Victory Monday and celebrating. Casey makes up these really cool, you know, these audio edits. He plays the music. Mwah, chef's kiss. Can't get enough of it. I like that a lot. Haven't had enough of those. Had two of those and that was it. Gonna need to see some more. I think you get there in the win column, not saying it's going to happen against Los Angeles, because I think you're running into a buzzsaw with Los Angeles, but you're going to get closer to victories if you keep on incorporating James Robinson. And yes, he's not 100%. Yes, you know, the ankle, the foot, whatever the case may be, could be hobbling him a little bit, but give me James Robinson 70% as opposed to anybody else right now at 100%. Until James Robinson proves you wrong. And you know what? Yeah, he fumbled, and guess what? Sometimes that happens, right? This team's, a lot of pillars of this team have made mistakes. Running backs are going to fumble sometimes. He doesn't have a case of the fumbles. James Robinson doesn't really fumble that much. So he hasn't really given you a reason not to go with it. He hasn't really given you a reason not to pull his number and say, hey, James Robinson, let's go, man. We're going to lean on you today. That's what you got to do. If you're an offensive coordinator, that's what you got to do. If you're Urban Meyer, you got to ask, hey, why isn't he in the game? And if you're James Robinson, man, I mean, at some point, and this is against his MO, but maybe you got to voice your frustration to be heard. Sometimes you got to be loud to be heard. I'm not saying you cause a distraction. I'm not saying that, you know, you cause a rift or anything like that. But I'm saying if you feel like you're underappreciated, I saw you on the sidelines when they had Carlos Hyde. If you feel underappreciated, well, then maybe you got to say something. Right, because the last thing I want, and I've said this many times before on this show, and you can mark this down again, the last thing I want to happen this year, set aside from maybe have a disappointing record, is for James Robinson to be upset and not want to be a Jacksonville Jaguar for years to come. Because we can't keep playing this game where players are frustrated and they want to go someplace else. You will never win with a philosophy like that. So hopefully, Daryl Bevel, Urban Meyer, they listen to us, they hear us, and they give the rock to James Robinson. I think we got Captain Rick Riles riding right now with the Florida Sportsman Fishing Report. Switch it up a little bit. Captain Rick, you there, man?
I'm right here. How you doing, boys?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Very, very strong day of fishing today. Golly, I just talked with Captain Robert Johnson. Dirty Lynn 2 is on the way with a limit of blackfin tuna. Everybody's got plenty to take home. He's got a 30-pound wahoo. He's got a couple of real nice gaffer mahis and a few smaller mahis. So an excellent day out at the ledge, blue water trolling. I'm also getting very good reports from the deep water from about 130 feet out of good bottom fish being caught, and cobia all the way from 100 feet out. Now, back inshore, David Borey said it's the best two-week span of red fishing that he has seen in many years. And he said the really good news is there's a world of small reds, a world of bright reds, as we call them. And that means that we should have a good redfish stock for years to come. We got a gorgeous day coming up tomorrow. I tell you, the guys that aren't listening to the Florida Sportsman radio show from 7 to 9, I hope they're offshore fishing because they won't want to miss it. And we will be back Monday to give you all the reports with another fishing report brought to you by Workman's Quick Fish Plumbing and CSS Landscaping. Thank you, boys.
Appreciate it, Captain Rick. Good to hear from you, man. Yeah, it's supposed to be a beautiful weekend, I think, at least from Saturday. I think Sunday, too, is going to be pretty nice. So, yeah, definitely get out there and get on the water if you can. I'm probably watching a lot of football, if we're being honest here. Fantasy football championships coming up pretty soon. But, man, I don't blame you if you're out in the water, especially, I mean, this Jaguars game, it's got to be a 4 o'clock game, I assume, right? It has to be.
Yeah, it's 4:05.
4:05. Great. So now I can go into the dinner hours and hopefully watch a competitive game for at least for the first half, and then we'll see how it goes from there. Brian, I found a little stat here, a little information, and I think, I mean, I don't want to sound cocky here or anything, but this stat might blow your mind in terms of the NFL draft. You ready for this one?
All right.
I couldn't believe this. This is Sports Illustrated quoting this thing. Do you know right now what the current draft order looks like if they were to draft today in the NFL? Do you have a good idea of how it would shake out?
Like the first 10 picks or like all?
I mean, man, if you give me the first 10 picks, I'd be super impressed. But I bet you can't even give me the first 5 picks.
Yeah, I think I could.
Okay, hit me with it.
Only because I feel like I looked at this, but no. Okay. Maybe not. Okay. So we got Detroit.
Yep. Number one. Correct.
We've got Houston and Jacksonville. Yep. Probably tied.
But Houston would be picking third because they beat Jacksonville already.
Okay.
Yep. So Jacksonville's number two.
So I'm 60% number three there.
Yeah. So you're good right now. You got three. Two more.
I gotta believe the Jets are somewhere in there.
The Jets are number four. Okay. Yes. All who's right. Number five?
Now who's number five?
And this is where it gets tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nobody out of the. Give me five more seconds.
You're good, man. We got time. I ain't rushing you.
Man, I tell you what, I can't think of a team that's as bad as those first four.
You want me to give you a hint?
Sure.
You've named this team already. The Jets. So check this out.
You're good, man.
So check this out.
Yeah.
If the NFL draft was to happen today, here's how it would shake out. Lions picking number one. Jaguars picking number two. Houston Texans number three. Jets picking four. Jets picking five.
Wow.
Buckle your seatbelts. Giants picking six.
Wow.
Giants picking seven. Carolina Panthers picking number eight. Eagles picking number nine. Eagles picking number 10.
What is going on around
here? So with the Jets picking number five, that comes from the trade with Jamal Adams going to Seattle.
Okay.
With the Giants picking number six and the number seven, number six comes from the trade with Chicago, which I believe Chicago used to get Fields. They've moved up in the draft. So, yeah, Giants number six, Giants number seven, Panthers, and then Eagles number nine and Eagles number 10. Due to the trade from Miami, they'd be picking right now at number 10. Now, you know, the Miami's doing pretty well. We'll see how that shakes out. But, yeah, if the draft was to happen today, Jets picking four and five, Giants picking six and seven, Eagles picking nine and 10. How wild is that?
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Who do you have more confidence in to get it right with their back-to-back picks, the Jets or the Giants?
That's a good question. I mean, back-to-back-to-back-to-back New York picks. Oh, man. Who's going to get it right? You know, and you know, this is more of a GM thing than I think it is even like a head coaching thing. But, and I share my co-host, you know, Brent Martineau's philosophy here. I'm a really big Robert Saleh guy. I think Robert Saleh, already you're starting to see improvements with the New York Jets. I would probably bank a little more on the Jets to get this right because you don't have to go in a quarterback situation. Your receivers are good. So you know you're feeling like, all right, guys on defense. You know, they're picks that can kind of contribute right away and you may be for sure at four and five. The Giants are going to need a quarterback. Probably Matt Corral. I mean, depending on, you know, how the combine and how everything shakes out in terms of the rankings, the Giants probably get Matt Corral. I don't know how confident you are with him. Yeah, I would probably trust the Jets to make the better picks than the Giants, assuming this is how it shakes out. But it's a really interesting thing to keep track of here because if it even comes close to this, that's going to be a wild 2022 draft. And Brian, I got to ask you, right now, Jaguars picking number two. You know, this is all hearsay. It's going to change, obviously. Maybe they pick four. Maybe they pick five. That would be nice. Pick number two. And I don't want to get in too much draft talk right now because, what, we're week 13. We got some time, everybody, so calm down. There's plenty of time to talk draft and everything. But where the Jaguars sit right now at number two, and I see a lot of comments. I see Big Diesel out there saying, you know, let's get a wide receiver. Let's get a guy like Treylon Burks, who I actually like a lot as well, from Arkansas. Big-bodied wide receiver. I think he's like 6'3", maybe 6'4", but he can play everywhere. He plays in the slot, plays on the outside, and plays in an Arkansas team where he kind of goes underappreciated sometimes just because, you know, it's Arkansas. They're turning a page, but it's still Arkansas. I think you put him on Alabama, we're talking about, you know, maybe the Blitnikoff winner, if you will. I think that's the wide receiver award, if I'm not mistaken. But and I guess I'm going off past experiences and I'm just going off of like preconceived notions here, Brian. Is pick number two too high for a wide receiver? Especially if there's not a guy who's unequivocally the number one receiver. Like, I guess right now, if I was to say who the top receiver would be, I think everyone's kind of in still on the cat from Ohio State, Garrett Wilson. 6 feet, 192 pounds. Runs good. You know, I mean, he's good routes. Obviously, he's got speed. I mean, he's a great receiver. But is he worth number two?
Right.
What do you think?
So, I guess there's two schools of thoughts right here that you could have. I mean, on the one hand, you just draft for the needs of your team. And so if you're picking second, then that means that you can get your guy sooner than later. But would it make more sense if you can get him, if you can risk the chance of trading out of that number two pick to number 10 or, you know, number 11 or number 8 or something like that, building some more picks maybe in maybe another first rounder, but probably a second rounder or a third rounder, you know, some very solid rounds where you can get really good players and still get your guy. I think it may be, I think if, unless you are absolutely sure that this guy is going to be in the Pro Bowl, all pro for 10 seasons, then yeah, it probably is too high. That being said, you know, a lot of people would say that the Jags, they need a receiver, and Urban keeps talking about speed all the time. So, and you know, he has his eyes on some of those Ohio State guys.
For sure,
you know,
for
he
sure.
does.
Yep. Yeah, you know, it's so see right here. I'm looking at a CBS mock draft, and they got Evan Neal, offensive lineman, Alabama. 6'7", 350 pounds. My word. I like that a lot too. Trevor does like that as well. And that's what we got to keep in mind here. Now, do they need, I think, another interior defensive lineman? That would be nice, right? You may get them in the second round. Do they need an edge rusher? Well, that would be nice. And then there's a lot of things that would be nice. I think when we're talking about, you know, going forward, and we're still a long ways away, but if we're talking about offensive line, let's be honest, Brian, it's not the sexiest position in the draft.
Okay, yeah.
Right, and anybody would agree with me there. And I think if you draft offensive line, a lot of people would be like, ugh, really? But we got to keep our eye on the prize of what the primary focus is. And that's giving Trevor Lawrence the tools and the confidence to win. Now, yes, you may need another wide receiver, you need an offensive weapon to give him that tool and that give him that confidence. I get that. That can maybe come around in free agency. We'll see. You know, with Walker Little, I mean, I hope he's the guy. Right? He has to be the guy for what you invested to get Walker Little, for what we heard about him out of training camp. He's got to be the guy. So, you know, is Juwan Taylor playing his best brand of football right now? No. Could you put Evan Neal at right tackle? Probably. You know, maybe he is right tackle. I don't even know. But I'm just saying, yes, wide receiver is the sexy position. Yes, we've seen what DK Metcalf can do as a rookie. You saw what AJ Brown did for his team as a rookie. You see what Waddle's doing right now for his team as a rookie. Devontae Smith is coming along a little bit as a rookie. Yes, rookies can make an impact. Yes, rookies can help quarterbacks. But they can also, if you take a wide receiver too high and he doesn't pan out, man, then you shoot yourself in the foot. And if you have the number two, the number three pick, I don't know if that juice is worth the squeeze. If you trade down, then by all means, let's roll, let's get some more capital, and let's get some weapons. But I'm just asking the fan base of Jacksonville, if we start getting the shock your mock season and offensive line keeps coming up, I know, I can't stand it. It's not sexy. It's the meat and potatoes. I had enough meat and potatoes for Thanksgiving. Give me something else. Give me some better trimmings. I get all that stuff. But priority number one, keep Trevor Lawrence upright. Priority number two, keep Trevor Lawrence happy.
That's
him.
So good.
If he wants it, then offensive lineman it is.
And you know, Austin, you know, not to cut you off.
No, you're good.
But you know, like my dad, he always told me, even from like growing up, he was like, listen, offensive line will make a mediocre quarterback look good, a good QB look great, and a great QB a Hall of Famer. Because
you keep
him healthy, you keep him standing up, and if they're good at pass blocking, there's a good chance, if they're a good line, they're going to open up some holes for the run game, which helps the QB, which helps the team, which helps you win, no matter if it's week one, week 17, in the Super Bowl, whenever. So, yeah, it's not sexy, you're right, but when you get on that offensive line and defensive line, the line is where the games are won and lost more times than not.
You better believe it, man. It's the battle of the trenches. Hey, you know what? Let's go to break here, man. Let's reset here. We got one more break coming up. Maybe get a little NBA vote for the first time in a long time here. I understand Brian's an NBA fan. Maybe talk some of that. And really just get ourselves geared and ready for the weekend here. We got one more break. We've got one more break or two more breaks, Brian. I don't even know, man.
Yeah, technically two more breaks.
Never mind. We got two more breaks coming back, but it's all good, man. We're not going anywhere. We don't got any feet in the parking lot just yet because it is a little dark outside, and I don't want to stand in the parking lot. So with that being said, more on ESPN 690 when we get back.
Good win, you know. We put it together. We just stuck to the game plan and kept ourselves engaged for most of the game, or all the whole game. And credit to coach and credit to everybody hooping. Good, just another game, you know. It goes in the left column.
Oh no. No, who was that player from the Memphis Grizzlies?
That's Jaren Jackson Jr.
Jaren Jackson Jr., 27 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist against... Yeah, 1 assist. Okay. Against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, wasn't just another game. Wasn't just a... You played hard. You beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. By the way, John Morant hurt. May he get... Hey, sending the most positive vibes and all the prayers to former Murray State racer John Morant. But not only did you beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, you beat them 152-79. Huh? I beg your pardon? Now, Brian, do you give the Thunder 3 losses for that one, or do you just give them the standard one loss? Because you should. I don't care who's playing. I don't care if the Grizzlies are playing a high school team. You don't lose by that much.
I had to check and make sure that they weren't playing UNF
for a second.
And
yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. Now, yes. Like, what's the score again?
Yeah.
Everybody getting paid on the court?
Unreal, man. Unreal. Did you watch the game? Did you follow the game at all?
No, I didn't watch it. So, yeah, I just started seeing stuff, like, trending and popping up. And I was like, what's going on? And it was, like, a big halftime lead. And then it just grew and grew and grew. And I'm like, what in the world?
So, I mean, to me, the stat that sticks out to this one is the Memphis Grizzlies had 16 steals last night. Where if you play in FanDuel, that's a lot of points. You know, 3-point percentage, 52%. Just, I don't know, man. What a blowout of a game. But I'll be honest with you, Brian, and that's why I'm glad you're here, man. Because you talk NBA, you follow the NBA. Who's your team, by the way?
So I'm a Heat fan before LeBron got there.
Okay.
Really before D-Wade got there.
Okay.
So like I was 1 year old and like, you know, Tim Hardaway for some reason was like my guy.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And he was there.
Okay. Shout out to Udonis Haslam as well.
You know?
Yeah.
And then Alonzo Mourning.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like that was my squad then. And then D-Wade finally got there. Then Shaq came and I'm like, let's go.
So I'll be honest. When it was D-Wade, Miami was like my second team because, you know, D-Wade coming from Marquette. Grew up a really big D-Wade fan. I was happy when he, you know, he willed his team to the championship. That was definitely a fun year, you know, to follow the NBA. And it was a big win in his career, obviously, as well. You know, the NBA, so, listen, there's going to be storylines every single year. There's going to be storylines and there's going to be things to watch. The way I see it right now is, you know, the Suns are an interesting team because the Suns, I think, got off, they were 1-2. And it's like, okay. And you know, this is classic NBA fandom. It happens in the NHL as well. Team gets off to a rocky start. Oh, what's going on? What's happening? You know, or a team gets off to a hot start. Oh, this is their year this year. I think eventually when you start talking like the first quarter of the season, which they're getting close to wrapping up on, you start to really see what teams are what, right? And you start to really see who these teams are. It takes more than 5 games. It takes more than 10 games to figure out, well, is this team the real deal or not? Are they contenders or pretenders? If we're talking about the West right now, I mean, there's 2 teams that obviously stick out to me in terms of, oh, okay, these teams are the real deal. Maybe 3 if you count the Utah Jazz. But the Golden State Warriors are playing like they got a team that has something to prove. Steph Curry right now playing at an MVP-type level, 18-3, and they don't even have Klay Thompson back yet. Brian, Golden State Warriors, where they stand right now, team to beat in the West?
You know, I think so, but here's the deal. Phoenix is...
this is the other one.
Yeah.
18-game winning streak, by the way.
Phoenix is young, and they're just as good.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Golden State, they have some young pieces, but if we're talking about their 3 best players, it's Steph, Klay, and Draymond. And, you know, those guys, they aren't 25. They're just not. Mm-hmm. But you look at the core of Phoenix, outside of Chris Paul, which is, you know, you can't really look outside of Chris Paul, but you start looking at Devin Booker. You know what I mean? He's 25 years old. Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, who actually met because I was living in Phoenix like a couple of years ago.
Dang.
Yeah,
okay.
It was in passing. He is really tall. Like, I'm tall. Like, you're tall.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
We're almost the same height.
Yeah.
But you've met guys who are like, 7 feet.
Sure.
It's a different look.
It's the real deal for sure, yeah.
But Golden State, I think that they have everything it takes to really take it this year. And you're right, with Klay coming back, that is going to be insane, because right now Steph is playing out of his mind. The team is playing out of its mind, yes, even though they just lost to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to me, it's going to be... And I don't know. Like, I'm not going to sell on the Lakers quite yet. It's hard to bet against LeBron, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook. But... they're struggling right now. COVID has something to do with that. I mean, they're not at full strength. Should we be talking more about the Lakers, or are they just, keep in mind, a lot of NBA left to play. But are the Lakers kind of just a team that doesn't have enough firepower? They're on the back nine of a lot of their careers. And do you think that they can keep up with a team like Phoenix or Golden State, or is it just not their year?
I just think that they have to make a move. And
okay.
I'm not sure what that move is. I know going into the season, they could have chosen to pick up Buddy Hield from Sacramento.
Sure.
As opposed to, Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. And they decided to go with Russ. I get the reasoning why, but when you start looking at some of their games, I've only seen a handful of them. Mm-hmm. I think Buddy would have fit into that a bit more. Shooting wise, they got Carmelo, and AD can actually he can pull up, and you got LeBron there. But as far as shooting to help open and space out the floor, really the way that you want to move your offense, I think that Russ is not really fitting in now. But with you, the same that you're saying that you can't bet against LeBron.
Yeah.
I won't bet against LeBron, but I've seen him lose now. Like, this isn't three years ago.
Yeah.
I've seen him lose prior to getting to the finals. I've seen him injured now. I know that there's a method to his madness, but these teams out here are hungry. And if you get through the West, you got KD waiting for you. So, I mean...
See, this is the thing. You don't want to bet against LeBron, but you're going to put more of your money on Steph Curry right now where it sits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, let's quick go to the East before we head out here. So the East, I mean, there's a lot of interesting tidbits here to go off of. Brooklyn Nets, do they trade Kyrie Irving? Do they maintain him? Because this was a guy who was supposed to help build the championship team. Obviously, with the vaccine and the protocols and all this stuff, he's not playing right now. Do you see Brooklyn shipping him off, or do they deal with that headache, which is Kyrie Irving right now?
I mean, I think if there was an issue and they weren't in first place, I think that they would have to look at that. But
it
now
it's
like playing with house money. It's
yeah.
just like, hey, we'll wait till Kyrie stops acting up. Or, I won't say that, but until we get on the same page,
Well put. The Chicago Bulls, second place right now. Obviously, DeRozan goes there, turns that entire thing around. They're playing good basketball right now. Pretenders or contenders?
I think that they're contenders, man. They're fun to watch.
Yep.
They're fun to watch.
Washington Wizards.
Surprise of the century.
Surprise of the century so far. Contenders or pretenders?
I don't know. I'm going to go with pretenders right now, only because it's the first year I'm seeing this. But, man, I'm happy for Bradley Beal.
It's the same here. I mean, I wish it was on the Milwaukee Bucks. I wish they went after Bradley Beal back in the day. But that guy, all-star year in, year out, finally getting some just due.
Yeah.
We know how you feel about the Bucks. Giannis is starting to make a push now again. Bucks starting to climb. What about your Miami Heat? How you feel about them?
Hey, they'll get into the playoffs, but just really quick before we wrap up.
What you got?
Giannis,
yes.
Closest thing to MJ that we've seen.
Man,
since MJ.
I mean, there's no reason to butter me up, man. We're done with
I'm
the show, but I appreciate that. He's well on his way in terms of dominance. If he can develop a three-point shot, he will be unstoppable. Unstoppable. And he's got that mindset, too, which MJ had, which I appreciate. And by the way, he's an easy guy to cheer for. There's not a lot of Giannis haters out there. All right, so with that being said, that was your NBA talk of, the past 5 months or so. Hope you all enjoyed that. Shout out to Brian, man, for filling in today. Did you have some fun?
Yeah, man, absolutely. Can't wait to do it again.
Dude,
open
door policy, man. I mean, hopefully Casey comes back and gets out of the airport, but open door policy, you're always welcome on this show. I mean, this was the first time of us working together. I thought it was fantastic, man. I'll definitely have your information. We'll give you a call. I think you made the team. For Austin Lane, for Brent Martineau in L.A., for Casey Kurtz, hopefully on a plane to L.A. pretty soon, I'm Austin Lane. Stay casual. Stay safe. We'll see you on Monday. Hopefully to talk about a competitive Jaguars game. We're out. Peace.